the church today. We're trying to fit in so desperately with the world when the Lord says, no, come ye out from among them. Be separate.
Pastor Breadmatter reminds us not to be conformed to the world, but transformed by a renewed mind.
The early church, these Christians that were on fire for Christ, because they were different and followed Christ and were abiding in Christ, yes, the world hated them. But the book of Acts tells us that they turned the world upside down. They yelled at the Christians, you have turned the world upside down. I would argue they turned the world right side up.
In the hours just before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples that they should expect to be hated by the world because they were his followers, a truth that continues as Pastor Breadmatter demonstrates how Christians should respond when we're hated by the world. In today's Word, we'll learn why it matters that we're different and how to boldly shine the light of Christ.
This is kind of the theme of John chapter 15, abide and obey, loving one another, and then to bear good fruit. But there's a part that nobody really wants to spend too much time on, and that's the last section of chapter 15 where Jesus says, what happens when you abide and obey and start bearing fruit, loving one another? What's kind of one of the end results? He's going to tell us here that the Father is glorified, but the result that you might experience might be a bit shocking. But we'll get into that in a minute. Really, the key to life is to understand why you exist. Do you wonder why you exist? The Bible tells you and me why we exist. It's Revelation 4:11. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's such a huge truth. If you could grab this one and know this one, you exist on this earth, and you will never find your great fulfillment in life unless you figure this one out. You exist, I exist, to please God in heaven. And so may my life, may your lives be whatever it is that pleases God. And here's Jesus in John 15 telling you, here's stuff that's pleasing to the Father. When you abide in Christ, you obey his commandments to love one another, and then you'll see good fruit in your life. But there's another sort of thing that happens when we abide in Christ and do all those things. It's our text really for the day, John chapter 15, verses 18 through 27. Let's take a look. John 15, verse 18. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, before Christ came and said what he said, they thought they were all innocent, but Jesus left no room for them to hide, no more hiding behind their religion. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. By the way, that comes from Psalm 69, verse 4. It's a fulfillment. When they hated Jesus, despised him, and rejected him, that was fulfilling Old Testament Bible prophecy about the Messiah. That's what Jesus is saying. But verse 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he, that is the Holy Spirit, shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus ends this amazing sort of dissertation to the disciples at the upper room saying, man, bear good fruit, abide in the vine, love one another, and guess what? The world's gonna hate you for it. Don't be surprised. They hated me, they're gonna hate you. If you're a Jesus follower, don't be surprised, Jesus says, if the world's gonna hate you. And did this come to pass? Well, for sure, it came to pass with those 12 disciples. They were all hated. All of them were killed brutally for their faith in Christ, tortured. The only one that didn't die was John the Apostle. There in Ephesus, it was the Emperor Domitian who took John the Apostle, according to tradition, and put John in a pot of oil and seek to boil him to death. But John didn't die miraculously, so they exiled him to Patmos there, and he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amazing story. But it wouldn't just be Domitian. It would be 10 waves of 10 emperors who would come through the first, you know, 3 centuries of the Christian church. How would we do to try to keep walking with the Lord and abiding in Christ? Would we be willing to be hated by the world? See, here's the problem. It's almost like we're beating ourselves to death to be loved by the world. I want the world to love us. So what have we done? One of the things that really hurt the church, in my opinion, was back in the 80s and 90s when the seeker-friendly movement happened. And what was that? It was just simply saying, we need to make the church more friendly for people to come in. The seekers, that they come in and they're not, we don't want to offend them. We want to make sure they have hot coffee, and we need it to be seeker-friendly. So we don't want to offend them. We're not going to talk about Bible prophecy, of course, because that's offensive or, you know, divisive. We won't talk about things that are politically based, like abortion and stuff. We want the world, the secular world, to love us. And sadly, because of that, we've lost our influence. You know, the early church, they had a way of doing it, and it was offensive to some, but to others, it drew them in to want to become Christians. I kind of believe every Christian should read Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of you guys have read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Basically, this is stories of Christians who were abiding in Christ and were refused to say, Caesar is Lord, and they were martyred for their faith. Let me just give you like one example. A beautiful woman named Perpetua, who was a young mother, and she had a baby. It was during that time where they were making the Christians in the Colosseum of Rome say, Jesus is Lord, and put their pinch of incense in the fire. But Perpetua refused. Her dad was a pagan, Roman pagan. He just said, come on, Perpetua, just say it. But she wouldn't. So they took her and this other woman, Felicity, in the center of the Colosseum and let the bull out. And these bulls, you know, this is like, you know, you go to rodeos, these bulls, you don't want to be standing there in the middle of an arena with a bull, but these bulls would come and, you know, just tear you up. But the bull came running out and the Colosseum was going wild, and Perpetua holding her baby with this other woman, the bull came running in and then just stopped in its tracks and wouldn't move, just looked at the women. Well, the governor of that time in Rome ordered the Roman guards to run into the arena and stick her through with a spear, Perpetua, stick her through. So the Roman soldiers, one particularly was given the order, and he ran out there shaking, trembling, and he was getting ready to stick her through, but he couldn't do it. And the governor of Rome there in the Colosseum yelled out, stick her through or you'll be next. And the guy was just shaking and trembling. Well, Perpetua, with a smile on her face, those that saw this, eyewitness accounts, she was joyful during this. She literally handed her baby over to the other woman and then walked up to the guy and said, it's okay. I'm going to heaven. It's okay. The guy shaking and trembling, the governor roared out again, stick her through, you will die, he said to the soldier. And Perpetua said, it's okay. And she grabbed his spear and helped him push it through her own stomach. She died there. They ordered that her body lay there for several days. But little did the Roman Empire know that that story that would backfire because of that event with this woman and her rejoicing, even in her own death. Many people in the Colosseum, as the story goes, became followers of Jesus Christ. Even the governor, eventually, of that situation became a Christian. Fox's Book of Martyrs packed full of stories like that. Christians who died as Christian martyrs for their faith. Okay, Pastor Brett, welcome home. So you're telling us we're gonna die. Yes, 10 out of every 10 people die. It's a shocking statistic. But this is the thing. We worry too much about what people think about us, especially when it comes to the world. Oh, Christians want to be loved by the world, but that's a wrong idea. What we want to do is follow Christ so that we can say, follow me as I follow Christ. And hopefully there'll be some people in the world that will see the beauty of following Jesus and they'll come to Christ, but not to try to win them over by being like the world. The world saw something different in the early church. Today's church We're trying to look like the world. The church, we've allowed so much sin to corrupt the truth, we don't even recognize sin anymore. We've become so open-minded as a church in the greater world today, the greater church, we've become so open-minded our brains are falling out. We don't even think logically anymore. Rather than teaching the Bible, we see more like TED Talks, where pastors are giving sort of their personal opinions and motivational speeches when really we need to be teaching the Bible. You know, what does the world see when they peek their head into the church of Jesus Christ? I think they see a cheap imitation of worldliness. You know, our music, let's make our music sound more like a secular band. You know, there used to be a day where the church was the standard and the world looked in and said, how can we be more like that? Did you know Johann Sebastian Bach was a Christian and he wrote about his writing of music and every song that he wrote, he says, that is a worship song to God. And I said, all music is worship music. And the world looked at his music in awe and said, how can we be more like him and write music like he did? But today the church is saying, how can we sound more? And you know what's even worse about the church trying to be hip and cool today? We're always like 5 years behind everything. The world looks at it and, oh, you guys kind of sound like Pearl Jam, whatever. It's like, Pearl Jam, Pearl who? Like, really? The church used to be set apart, used to be different. We got to see that we have faith, but we need to see those good works that, you know, we're supposed to do as Christians that Jesus is talking about. You know, if you do those good works, then there's going to be people that will hate you. But we don't do works to try to win the world over by being like the world. What does the Bible teach? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's so sad, you know, to see the church trying to be more like the world. We accept we're the rainbow alphabet soup church. And we embrace LGBTQ, embracing and thinking it's okay to live a lifestyle of LGBTQ plus. They're not being separate from the world. They're joining themselves to the world. They're rejecting the word of God. One of the things I've noticed, by the way, the more the church tries to be liked by the world, the more they lose on both counts. They lose as a church being effective, but they also lose because the world still doesn't like them. It's always a sad thing when you see the kid in high school who wanted so desperately to be hip and popular, and he'd run around trying to be cool, but he was trying so hard that he was seen as a total, complete nincompoop. It was a sad situation. Well, I think that's often the case of the church today. We're trying to fit in so desperately with the world when the Lord says, no, come ye out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. This is what the Bible says. You know, even probably by memory, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, conform to this world, taking something of the world, sort of cleaning it up and making it a cheap Christian version. That's what we see. By the way, I see that happening in sad ways. Have you noticed? Call me judgmental or whatever, legalistic if you want, but that's not my heart. But have you noticed that cussing has become cool among Christians again? Oh man, we can cuss, man. We're freedom in Christ. Don't judge me, don't judge, don't judge. Even pastors are cussing from the pulpit today, which is ridiculous. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's what the Bible says. And yet people are like, freedom in Christ, I can do whatever. You see, instead of asking how holy can we be, we're asking how far we can push the limits and be sort of radical and like the world. How can we become more like the world rather than saying, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, even rude gestures and mocking and making fun of sinful things. We laugh at sinful stuff. But this isn't the heart of the Lord. In fact, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. The early church, these Christians that were on fire for Christ, they were different. And because they were different and followed Christ and were abiding in Christ, yes, the world hated them. But they did something that was radical. In the book of Acts, it tells us that they turned the world upside down. They yelled at the Christians, you have turned the world upside down. I would argue they turned the world right side up. What happens is when we start to cave to being like the world to try to win the world, they're going to hate us and we're not going to be walking with the Lord and abiding in Christ at the same time. What I'm suggesting is that we as a church need to be as far radical as we can following Jesus, Reading his word, loving his word. Going to church is not a got to, it's a get to. Walking with Jesus, it may cost you. The more radical you are loving Jesus Christ, again, not being a weirdo on purpose, but just being a Jesus follower, does that mark you? If being a Christian became illegal today, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would some of you be unnoticed? Your friends at school, would they say, yeah, he's not a Christian, he's safe. Or the people at your workplace, do they even know you're a believer in Christ? You know, it's interesting how the church wonders why we're so ineffective and people are leaving the churches. I'm convinced the more people get into the word, stick with Christ and abide in him, people are drawn to that. It's not promising roses and perfection and happiness, and we're not promising that the world's gonna love us, but we are gonna be in the right place walking with Jesus Christ. When was the last time somebody hated you because you were a Christian? I know some of you deal with that. Some of you have family members that hate you because they know you're one of those Jesus followers. Don't be sad, that's what Jesus promised. He said that's gonna happen. When was the last time you were persecuted? You know, it's interesting to follow Christ. What we're supposed to do is go and be witnesses. In fact, it's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus, we went over this fairly recently, but Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what I love about this Holy Spirit coming upon the church, and they would be witnesses? That's what the church was. These Christians just were being who they weren't running around witnessing. They were being witnesses. Their very way of life was so different. They said, you're one of them Christians. Say Caesar is Lord. We're not gonna do that. As they were being good, solid Christians, guess what? They were witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. I love that they would receive power to be witnesses. You know, I'm not against handing out gospel tracts or standing on a soapbox and preaching on the street. Maybe there's some people that are called to that. But I think the idea of witnessing is more about this be witnessing, not go out and witness, but go out and be witnesses, just as you go. I think my dad was a good example for me because he was a superintendent on big giant construction jobs, Castaic Lake. My dad was a superintendent on that job, building that giant dam. And he wasn't out there saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't doing that. He was there just being really good at his job and just a solid dude. And so all the other workers are like, what's the deal with that guy, Todd? And they would ask him. And I would see it where these guys would come into my house after a work day and my dad bring them home and my mom would cook up some dinner. And at the dinner table, these tough construction guys bawling their eyes out at our dinner table because their lives were a mess. And they would ask my dad, what's the deal with you? And my dad said, well, come over to dinner. Well, he didn't do it on the job because that'd be a waste of the company's time. But he was so good at just being a witness that people were drawn to him and wanted to know what the secret was. And my dad would say, the secret is give your life to Christ. Accept Jesus, repent of your sins and become a Christian. And I bet my dad led more people to Christ than a lot of pastors out there just by being a witness. He wasn't preaching sermons. He kind of was a sermon in that way. You shall be witnesses. You know, we saw that a little bit, I think, the Olympics, the opening ceremonies. Did you see him? This, attempt to make these drag queens into the, you know, the Last Supper of Jesus. And then they said, well, we weren't really doing that. And they said, well, yeah, we were kind of. And then the world went up in an uproar saying, don't you understand you're offending billions of Christians around the world? And eventually the Olympic Committee had to say they were sorry, but it was a dubious apology. It was just really wacko. The whole thing was insane. The whole thing was very dark and evil. Meanwhile, the games begin and I just have to say, maybe more from what I've seen and even heard, there were maybe more solid Christian athletes popping out than normal. There were very sincere Christians that were kind of popping out. Did you see this? Surfer, Jao Chianca, he had a portrait of Jesus with his arms outstretched on his surfboard. And would the Olympic Committee say, oh, you can't have religious imagery. So they made him take off his Jesus off his surfboard. Meanwhile, they're doing the Last Supper of Christ with drag queens. Totally hypocritical, typical of the world. But I love that Joe, he complied. Some people said he should have just been disqualified or whatever. I like that he went and surfed his heart out and did it heartily as unto the Lord. I love that. The skateboarder, Raissa Leal, 16-year-old Brazilian skateboarder, killed it on the skateboard, by the way, an amazing athlete. She used sign language because you know how they always cut off the Christian comments and stuff? As she finished her round of skating, she signed, "Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life." I love it. 16-year-old girl who killed it on their skateboard. You know, and these athletes, you know, it was just kind of, it's almost like, you know, Satan tried his thing with his dumb opening ceremony thing. But Christ shines through. It's during that kind of, call it what you want, persecution or just weirdness. But it's funny how persecution of Christianity has always produced greater Christians who are more bold in their faith. The question I would ask for you, are you going to be in these days, as I believe it's going to get even more difficult. If you're a Christian in America today, I think it's going to get quickly more difficult. We might even see persecution in some in our lifetime. But how are you going to do? I'm reminded, and I'll finish with this, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," what? The gospel. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So you abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, obey, loving one another, and bringing forth good fruit. God is glorified, people will be saved. And that's the key. You and I as Christians, we have to decide, are we going to be people of resolve and focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified and abide in Him, even if it means what Jesus is saying, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. I think some of us have to just get it in our mind, say, if they hate us, so be it. I'm not going to let that sway me from being a Christian who's on fire and showing the light of Christ to all the world. Come what may, persecution, people hating you, your friends at school thinking you're a weirdo, either way, following Christ is the way. Don't be afraid, but be full of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God that brings everyone salvation, whoever believes. If you've ever accepted Christ, you know your sins have been forgiven and you're saved. And it's not about this life and being hated by people in this world. It's about the fact that when you accept Christ, you get to go to heaven for all eternity when you die. That's why Perpetua, when she guides the spear through her own stomach, you think that's horrible. No, it was actually the best day of her life when she went home to be with the Lord. Do you think Perpetua is in heaven today going, "Man, I wish I didn't get stuck through with a spear"? Or do you think she's thinking, you know what? Dying for Christ and for that sake was the most worthy of all causes.
Pastor Brett Metter with some challenging truths for abiding in the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, as we continue our ever-relevant study of the Gospel of John on today's Word. And I hope you'll stick around as Pastor Brett will join me in just a moment. Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland, Oregon, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. Our vision is to proclaim the hope of salvation and help people know Jesus, their Savior, through careful study of the Bible. We invite you to find out more by going to todayswordradio.com. That's todayswordradio.com. All right, Pastor Brett is joining me now. Brett, I wonder if there's that one person listening today who would like to have that salvation that comes from knowing Christ and seeing their sins forgiven. Can you speak to that person and share how it works to know God?
Absolutely. I love the simplicity of this because our sins are complex. And, you know, depending on your sins, you tend to think, oh boy, I may be past the point of safety or maybe I've done too much. But I love what the Bible says. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the all there, it brings me great comfort. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how far you've gone, if you repent of your sin and say, "Lord, forgive me and save me, and I believe in Jesus, that He died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave," the Bible declares you will be saved. The most famous verse in the Bible, you know, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Man, that's powerful, but notice it's so simple and wonderful.
It really is, Brett. And I want to mention that if you're the person listening who has chosen to believe in Jesus today, we have a page on our website that will give you some next steps as you begin your relationship with Jesus. Just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link New Believer. That's todayswordradio.com and click the link New Believer. Well, next time on Today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter will describe how Jesus assured His disciples of victory through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.